This is Conor Lennon from UN News. As the first ever human rights issue to provoke wide international outrage, slavery is perpetuated by traditional practices such as child and forced marriage, and by the fact that almost half the countries in the world have yet to criminalise it. According to the latest UN figures, 40 million people were living in a state of modern slavery in 2016. One in four children are in forced labour, and about 98% of women who are in forced labour have also been subjected to sexual exploitation. Deeply rooted in fear, with victims often not realising they're enslaved, it becomes invisible and clandestine, leaving victims unprotected, said Urmila Bula, Special Rapporteur on Contemporary Forms of Slavery, who sat down with UN News' Anna Carmo to talk through its causes and consequences.
I would say firstly the fact that almost half the countries in the world have not criminalized slavery. And even those countries who have criminalized slavery face problems with enforcement of the laws, effective labor inspections, identification of victims, prosecution of criminals. So in terms of the legal framework and the policy framework, I think that is a huge problem as a starting point. Secondly, I think that there are challenges with the rule of law in many countries. So where slavery occurs as a result of corruption of officials or borderline officials, for instance, first responders to human trafficking and victims, there's a lack of an adequate framework to ensure that that happens. So there's insufficient victim identification and victim protection. I think in terms of prevention also, that a lot more needs to be done by governments to ensure that they are preventing slavery by addressing some of the root causes that lead to slavery, like eradicating poverty, ensuring a greater access to education, addressing the causes of forced labor like inequality and also forced labor in global supply chains. And then lastly, I think also the fact that almost 90% of workers work in the informal sector in developing economies contributes to slavery and perpetuating slavery because they are extremely vulnerable.
So you mentioned forced labor as contemporary forms of slavery, also sexual slavery. But there's also servile forms of marriage. Can you speak a little bit about the roots of that and how traditional slavery can persist as a state of mind among victims, but also among perpetrators?
I think that that's a very key question because servile forms of marriage occur basically where there is a forced or child marriage. And it really is a transaction to ensure exploitation, both labor exploitation and sexual exploitation of the person who is forced to enter into that marriage. But what we see is a situation where slavery globally is perpetuated by some of these traditional practices and harmful practices like forced and child and early marriage. But it results also in a state of mind where the victims are often hesitant to speak out because they're not aware of protection frameworks. They can't access legal frameworks. The law is complex, or they're not even aware that their rights have been violated. And they've entered into this kind of arrangement basically at the request of their families. And in many cases, there are young children involved, there are girls involved, and they're not able to identify how to exit from that situation of extreme exploitation. So fear perpetuates the condition of slavery that they're in.
I wanted to speak a little bit about the regions of the globe where slavery is more present. Also, it often occurs in isolated areas, making it harder to access these people that are in slavery conditions. Can you speak a little bit about those certain regions and what makes them more vulnerable? You spoke a little bit about poverty also and how that affects these regions.
So the data indicates that clearly there are certain regions of the world where there is a higher prevalence of slavery. Also, there are greater numbers of people. And that would be in the Asia Pacific and Sub-Saharan Africa. There's also in Sub-Saharan Africa an increase in in child slavery, in children trapped in situations where they're forced to beg on the streets as a result of the way in which some schools, Islamic schools, are said to indoctrinate them. There are also greater instances of child marriage and forced marriage and more examples of domestic servitude. In the Asia-Pacific region, we see that there is a greater vulnerability to being trapped in forced labor in global supply chains, because most of the big multinational and the supply chains for global brands often end in at the lowest level in some of the poorest or the developing East Asian countries. But the problem is that slavery itself happens in a clandestine way. It is often invisible. So the victims are unprotected. They are often not identified. And yes, geographic isolation in some regions, for instance, in sub-Saharan Africa, in West Africa, I found in my country visits that there are a number of situations where people are not able to report that they are in slavery. They don't have access to information which enables them to exercise their rights. But as a whole, slavery happens as an invisible and extremely complex form of exploitation where the victims often themselves don't realize that they are in a situation of slavery. They know they're extremely exploited and they know they can't exit the situation. And those two are indicators of being in slavery because they are treated simply as possessions. And there are rights of ownership that are exercised over them by people who control them. And that makes them akin to being someone's property or commodity, simply to be moved around and exploited.
You were speaking about fear, and we know that fear is deeply rooted in slavery. And the majority of those who suffer are the most vulnerable. Can you speak about the importance of addressing slavery amongst migrants and refugees?
Migrants and refugees are extremely vulnerable because of transnational migration and because of the fact that the principle of safe and orderly migration that doesn't really exist. And immigration policy is often used to exclude people from certain countries, even though they are fleeing conflict or climate change. And that results in perpetuation of slavery. And it really creates fear of reporting situations of slavery because those who are victims are often, even if they have a legal right to work, a legal right to be in the country, they may not legally be allowed to work. Or they may have lost their rights to residence or their rights to work, as I found in the situation affecting many agricultural workers in the south of Italy during a visit last year. So the fear of deportation is there if they report because they've committed a crime by being in irregular migration, or maybe they are undocumented, maybe their passports have been confiscated, so they are fearful of the situation. They're fearful of losing their jobs if they disclose the levels of exploitation that they're undergoing. And the fear is, in the case of some of the domestic workers that my mandate has focused on in a thematic report, the fear is also being returned to your country of origin without actually having accomplished what you wanted to do, which is just to simply seek a life, a better life for yourself and your family. A number of migrant domestic workers who go, say, from Ethiopia to the Gulf or from Philippines to Israel or Gulf countries are in a situation where they then become trapped. They have no documents. They may have paid recruitment fees, so they are in debt bondage, meaning that they don't even work to earn an income. All the income goes to pay the recruitment fees or the agency fees, and the employer may even withhold salary. So there's a great deal of fear associated with identifying as a victim. And of course, along with that comes also the lack of knowledge of where to go for help, how to access justice, what remedies are available, what grievance mechanisms are available. The exposure and the vulnerability of migrant workers, asylum seekers and refugees to exploitation in modern slavery is a reality. And hundreds of thousands of workers are affected by that. And that is a key issue that needs to be addressed.
Is there any personal story that you would like to share from your mandate?
The one situation that really had a major impact on me was meeting some of the women in a village in Zonga Ablo in Niger, which was my first country mission. And I also met a woman survivor, Hadija Tumani Korau, who brought a case at the ECOWAS Court of Justice against her government because she had been sold into slavery by her master. And she managed to recover compensation, but also recovered her dignity because the ECOWAS court ruled in her favor. So I met her and a number of women who had escaped from slavery. They were forced to become wahaya, or fifth wives, which is when a master and his four wives literally employs someone, a girl normally, to work as a slave in the household. So a number of women I met were grandmothers, and they told stories about having escaped from being wahaya. And some of them really had terrible stories about how one of them had her eye put out by her master because she refused to comply with his demands. And their resilience and their tenacity and their dignity really, really struck me, despite the experiences that they had gone through. But I feel that everyone I've met from civil society and every survivor and every victim has told a story with so much dignity, including migrant workers I met in Italy last year during my country mission. And they speak so much to the tenacity of the human soul. And that's really affected me.